Morning. Nice to see Carol Anthony, Morley, and Liz. Did both of their weddings years ago, long time ago. Hard to believe that they've been married so long, and hard to believe that I've done so many weddings, and it was really a joy to do them. They came quite by surprise. In other words, I just didn't think I was going to do any of that when I came home. There were a lot of surprises along the way. People wanted me to do the wedding, Ed and Cindy, and I think one of the biggest surprises was Neil and Alex. When they asked me to do the wedding, I thought, they must be missing something here because I'm just one of the yahoos hanging around here. Anyway, that's nice to see them and all of these people who are up here this weekend visiting Jim. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now I'm taking one more week on this, but it's not over with. Because in chapter 14, the subject comes up again. And you know, I think that's really significant because he is beginning to take care of and deal with a number of very hard problems. The Corinthians are confused about issues. And then he's going to go through some of the turmoil in that local church. But he's going to bring up the subject again of the place of women. And it seemed to me he begins and he ends with this idea, and he wants to make some things clear. And it's really important to understand this. Back in the late 80s, middle 90s, there was a great controversy. You know, what happens a lot of times is things get out of hand, doctrines start getting so distorted that it seems like people can go just any way they want, and it becomes confusing. So in the 90s, it was called Recovering Biblical Men and Womenhood. This was a huge number of solid evangelicals, just about any denomination you can think of, including the assemblies. And the idea was to straighten some issues out, because one of the problems was, as they looked in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, they began to see and think that the women having worn head coverings was cultural. Now that culture has changed, now that times have changed, the women can do away with some of that. And then also the fact that chapter 14, the idea being that things have changed in the roles of women and created a huge role problem. Men on both sides, good men. But unfortunately, and I want to be careful in saying this, that a good many of them on the side of doing away with coverings and doing away with submission to women and other issues were women. And these women came up with all kinds of ideas, and our theologians from both sides spent a lot of time working on this. The book, about this thick, It's heavy, gives me a headache. But the scholarly work is incredible. These men and these women who wrote on on that knew what they were talking about, why. And a few men that were well-known theologians, taught in seminaries, and a few men who had a great influence, actually changed and began to ask the ladies in their mega churches to wear head coverings. And it was interesting to study. We had some people with this, from the assemblies working with this. James Starr was on one of the committees, and it was scholarly work. Here's a problem we have. And just let me ramble. This isn't meant to waste your time. Where did the Corinthians get these ideas? For example, we've already read that in an early part of this book, after some men were saved, because they felt they were saved, they could leave their unsaved spouse. Dissolve their marriage and leave their unsaved spouse. Where in the world did they pick that up? Or vice versa. Some of the women who were saved could leave their spouse. If they were not saved, they could leave them because God didn't see any validity in it. Created all kinds of problems in regard to morality. Then there were those, and there's nothing wrong with saying that women, that men or women can't be single, but there were those who felt that was a holier for a woman to stay single, holier to not get married, that that's God's ultimate. Well, certainly single people can be used by the Lord, and single people have a gift, and we know some ourselves, and you do too. But it's few and far between. It takes a special gift. But where did they get these from? Where were these women particularly living now in such a way to shock the people around them? In such a way, by the way they dressed, the way they kept their hair, the way other things, they somehow just felt free. That wasn't important to them. Maybe they said, well, look, when we're saved, we're each saved individually. If a woman is saved, she's not saved through her husband, she's saved by personal faith in Jesus Christ. And the same thing with the husband, and the same thing with the master, and the same thing with this, the same thing with that. So we have come to Christ and he died for our sins to redeem us, to save us. And therefore, new things are taking place. And that's true. But I wonder if they actually understood what some of the new things were. They must have got them mixed up along the way. So when the Apostle Paul is dealing with these chapters, 11, 12, 13, 14, and by the way, they're really one long section. You may break them up into individual thoughts, but they're one long section. And they go right through to 14. And Paul is spending his time clearing matters up, make it easy to understand. And so the Apostle Paul is approaching the subject in order to correct what some of the women believe or the men believe. And it's really important. You know, God equally saved the slave, equally saved the master, equally saved the woman or the man. but he didn't change roles. He didn't say in our instructions that when you become a Christian in this world, you can just break down certain things. They no longer are important. Husband and wife relationship and other such things. Not important anymore. What you're really doing when you do that is you're rebelling against something that God set up from the very beginning. And one of the things, when I read all the material in this Recovering Biblical Men and Womanhood, vast amount of its material, I became more and more and more convinced that what the scriptures say about the role of women and the role of men are true and should be followed. And so what was happening is this. The world around them was seeing some new things and most likely disapproving. Whoa. What are these Christians do? How do they live? And it's very, very important that they get it clear. But they didn't have it clear. This is what Paul is trying to do. Clarify things. Now, last week, I went into some of this. Let me go a wee bit more because I think that it's important to go over and to review this time and time again, right? So we know in chapter 11, Apostle Paul brings up the subject and starts off this whole section of church with, and I'll just read a few of these. Verse 2 of 11, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and that you keep the traditions as I delivered them to you." And the traditions here are not all of these traditions that are man-made. It simply means the things I directed to you that came from the inspired Spirit. And he later on says, as far as we're concerned, all the churches hold these views. And we do not contend over it. We will not fight over it. All right. Verse 3, and this is where I want to pause again. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. We have to go back to Genesis. You have to go back to Genesis 2:28. You have to read that. And there are several things that jump out of the scriptures. One of them is that God created man and created woman and put him in a role before sin came into the world. You see, sin took these relationships and changed them. So that while men and women tried to have an order of it, they didn't know how to live it. Sin changed everything. When redemption came and Jesus Christ died and you were saved, God is saying, I want to restore certain principles that are extremely important. Because I want us now to show that Christianity has a way of living and being an example of all of these things. And that Christianity should be an example, not an excuse for breaking up marriages, not an excuse for doing many independent things. God has put this together so that we in the church can show the world what Jesus Christ intended. And so Paul went to make it clear. He goes back to Genesis, as I said last time. And he makes it clear. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ created man, so the Lord Jesus Christ became the head of man. And then from Adam came the woman, and she came from the man, but she's still equal with the man. Each one has a responsibility and role. Boy, that's hard in our day and age to understand. That husbands and wives are brought together. Husband's the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the husband. Right? God is the head of Christ. So there's subordination. And there's this roles. But it doesn't mean they're inferior. I mentioned that last time. Certainly Christ is not inferior to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ has been declared to be God, and he's not inferior to the Father. But in redemption, he died on the cross to save us. And he sacrificed his life. So in the very beginning, God had an idea. It's not good that man be alone. And I would give him a suitable helpmate. And this order, while it looks like there's some inferior part to it, is just for living and honoring God, not having dominion over any other person. So, the second birth, we're born again. And the old life changes. But the Corinthians just didn't seem to know what that change was. And they came up with all kinds of ideas. And the Apostle Paul went to straighten it out. Because how in the world is the world going to know today with all of the mixture and all of the problems? I read at breakfast these columns, Dear Abby, whatever they are. And the moral today, whoa! The old lady, Abby, the mother, back in the 50s, probably would have given an answer that would make her daughter shocked. And the world needs to see what God intended. The world has to understand what God intended. And if the church cannot live it, how in the world are we going to prove it? Show it. So, this is important. We are equally saved. We have the Holy Spirit. We have gifts. We have the new birth. We have the Holy Spirit again, as I said, in our lives. We have a place and a role in God's program in this world. And nevertheless, with all that is true, we are part of something that God has laid down. And it's really important for us to follow that and understand. So what Paul wants to do is make it clear that nothing has really changed from the beginning. The church needs to show it. And one way they will show it, women in the church, by wearing a head covering. Now I know this whole thing about, wow, this whole thing about role playing and this head covering and women looking quiet and silent and all of this. Doesn't say outside of the church. In the church. Doesn't say outside of the church the woman should walk 3 steps behind the old man and wear some kind of veil or covering. Should be seen and not heard. And Apostle Paul went to make it clear. Wearing the covering in the local church is not making you inferior, is not making you less useful. Wearing it is showing God's original order. And that being the case, if that can be understood, all of the hassles, all the sweat, all of the belly aching is going out of it. So, Apostle Paul wants to start right out making it clear that the role of the woman to be covered is not inferior, but showing divine order, that the woman was created for the man. Now, I wish I could get over, I could talk more about how much women mean to us, how useful they are, how women have helped us. And I know, guys, sometimes we don't like this, but boy, we've been helped by wives. Which we give them for. I mean, my wife knows I'm a bit of a pain. I'm a comedian. Maybe my wife, my only audience, but I have to say I do some pretty funny things. And they're pretty good. But my wife has helped me many times. And I have learned to appreciate what God does to her. The fact of how different she is. Physically. Emotionally. Understanding. And how she can really help me. Times I've been close to wanting to go off the deep end. I've always been a rather nervous type of person. Insecure. When I was on the mission field, it could get really hard. And often wondered, what in the world am I doing in the first place? And my wife became a strength and an encouragement in order to help me in the work that God has given me to do. I'm not saying women can't work, not the point, but women have a particular role. And when she follows that role, she can be of a tremendous use. So, Paul doesn't want the woman acting in such a way that even the world around her is going to say, boy, those are born-again Christians. Those people are claiming to be followers of Christ. And some of their conduct or some of their ideas are really not very biblical, not very scriptural. I've been in many mega churches, Florida and other things, going to these mega churches. And one of the things I find very interesting when their service starts is what I call the floor show. First they bring out the bar stools. Then they bring out the drums, the bongos, clarinet, all the instruments. And then out come the girls to sing. And they come out to sing. And while they're out singing, I'm not saying they have to have long dresses that go down to the floor. But some of them are pretty attractive sitting up on their bar stools. I'm being a wise guy. Makes you feel uncomfortable. And it just seems somehow it could be done more appropriately. That's beside the point. I only use it as an illustration. In a couple of those churches, the divorce rate is very, very high. Wow. Very high. I know people in them. People have been divorced. I've spent some time with people. Wow. The divorce rate's high. And it seemed like if they're unhappy or they're not getting out of life what they want, they can just find somebody right in the same building to form a relationship with. All right. So the Apostle Paul makes it clear, verse 5, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Her husband is the head. Somehow she is just showing that in God's order, this is the best way to accomplish salvation. There's order in all the world. Some people have high positions and they begin to really believe they deserve those positions. And they forget they may be appointed, voted, just a job. And they begin to think they're better. So, the Apostle Paul is beginning this way, and it's really important for you then to go to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and see what Paul is trying to say. So, verse 6, I mentioned last week, had to do with creation, right? In God's creation, he created this order. And it's a shame that married couples just don't understand how it works. And there's so many other problems that take place. Okay, 6, for if a woman not covered, let her be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. Now, he's simply saying, if a woman is going to wear her hair or she's going to live in the attitude of the world around her, she just may as well shave her head like a man. And but of course he's not saying she should do that, but he just may as well do it. And verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he's the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. Seems unfair, isn't women's the glory of man? No, it isn't, ladies. No, it isn't. Work on your marriage, understand things, and watch how God will use you and what God will do in your life. How often I'm strengthened, how often I'm encouraged. I get down very easily. Always have. I get down very easily. And my wife really has sensible, good things to say to encourage me and to help me. All right. Verse 8, for man is not from woman, but the woman from the man. All right. God took Adam and created the woman, and the woman is from man. All right. But look at verse 9. No, it was a woman created for, pardon me, the man created for woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a somewhat of authority on head because of the angel. Now, I mentioned that last week. But this thing about angels isn't really complicated. At least I don't see it. But then I'm so simple, nothing's complicated. When God created heaven and earth, and Adam and Eve, the angels attested and watched all of this. God was doing something never before done. And they watched all of it. They watched what God was going to create. And then sin came into the world. And they watched that. And so everything became distorted. Oh, sure, there are good things along the way, but it became distorted. And they watched this, and they understood how God's order had been so destroyed by rebellion, Eve's, Adam's, that God's original intention was not brought to pass. And being that as it is, the angels watched the destruction. Then it says in the New Testament when Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross and rose again, the angels were watching this. Remember, angels were created, but they live. And they were watching it, and they began to see something in individual lives and in marriages and in other lives and in the church that testified to them of some particular truths. Salvation were very important. And that's what I mean by the angels. They are watching this incredible program. The beauty of the first part, the destruction, and all of the things that happened. Read Romans chapter 1. Wow. And other sections in the New Testament. And now they're watching. And in the church of Jesus Christ, this is the place where we are to live and define and show the world what God wants to do. The world should be looking at us and not finding us the same. The world should be looking at us and seeing that God can take people who have a natural tendency to restlessness, selfishness, doing their own thing, and mold them into a living testimony. And our testimony, people, is just for a very short time. Right? We're alive, and we have a short time. I know I shouldn't say it, but I'm having just passed 75. I can't believe I'm this old. Now, I don't even want to read the obituary. Every once in a while, I find some high school friends in there, and that's even worse. But our time is short. All right, so onward go. All right, so verse 8, for man is not from the woman, woman from the man, nor is the man created for the woman, woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. And that symbol of authority doesn't mean as soon as she puts it on, the husband can demand things of her. Rather, she puts it on, she is showing God's divine order. And those who believe that it should be worn by the woman all the time, in the home, all of the time, and that women could never teach a Sunday school class, or women could never do this, that I don't think they're necessarily close to what the truth is. But there are many, many views. All right. So Paul's point of view is that God is created. She's God's glory by being man's glory. She serves God by serving man. Doesn't mean yes, sir, no, sir. I will always bow to you or this or that. A good marriage, you know, works things out well. Some of the best Christian marriages I know, whether they be among missionaries or elders or whatever, these people have a give and take. These people have a good relationship, a good sharing, a good listening. Each one knows how much they need the other and how well they can work this out in their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I want to move on. Verse 10, for this reason the woman ought to have a symbol of authority and head, because the angel is nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, no woman independent of man, the Lord. Wow. Not independent. God gave us this so we can work together. And in the church, it is just a simple symbol. If your heart isn't in it, why wear it? But if your heart understands it's in it and it's in it, it is just showing this role, this order that God has given to us. And it's so important. I wish we could get back more and more and more to understanding this. And it would help us a lot. This controversy back in the 90s, recovering biblical men and womanhood, got so deep, got so complicated, that sometimes when I was reading it, I just threw the book aside for a while. I got to stay away from this for a while. Say, I'm not smart, but this is nonsense. This doesn't even seem to be making any sense. People seem to be looking for their own independence and liberty. I mean, after all, I'm born again. I have the Holy Spirit. I've been given a gift. God has a role in my life. He has something for me to do. Why do I have to limit myself? Well, oh boy, it created problems. And some of the chapters of the book, 15, 20, 25 pages, really detailed in Hebrew and in Greek and in history. To me, they didn't even have to be written, because they were trying to spread an argument that somebody should just pull a carpet off from under some of these people and say, you're so far off base that you're not even close to what God wants you to do. So the head covering is not inferiority. That's what the head covering is. A way of honoring. All right. verse 12. For as woman came from man, even so man comes through woman, but all things are from God. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Now, this has to do more with nature. Notice verse 14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, and a dishonor to him? Now, Paul is just picking some things up. Normally, men's hair was shorter. And Paul is just not only talking about creation, but look at nature. Look at the way the women care for their hair. They put their hair up when they go out in public. And look at the woman's role. Look at the man. He said, nature, not all of the time, but nature does show this for the most part. Like the Elkas go in, and they went into the Elkas, ladies had longer hair, and the guys had shorter hair. They looked like beetle haircuts, bowl stuck over the head and cut. And this seemed to be generally what creation is showing. Okay, so I want to end right there, because I think it's so important that we not get caught up in all of these details of today, and cultural, and was come from this group of people and that group of people, and I know a couple where the husband calls his wife woman, and my wife and I have seen that in school when we were younger days, where some guy, after he got in, he got all spiritual, he referred to his wife as woman. I was on a mission field, and been on the way to getting some supplies. I had to get up pretty early to get to the port and get the boat upriver to Columbia. And the woman was to have breakfast for me. I got up, there was no breakfast. I didn't really make a fuss, but I wanted coffee. I wanted coffee. And this woman's walking around clearing eyes up, and the guy went, lost his temper. Woman! That's one thing I ever get, Joe. And left his voice real loud. I felt embarrassed. She did. And when I had been around, that's all he referred to as to his woman. I thought that was nonsense. He had it all mixed up. And besides, he would also be a man who in church argued very strenuously that a head covering is outdated, has nothing to do with the church today. All right, quickly, I want to finish the verse 15 without getting much. All right, verse 12, for as the woman came from the man, even so the man comes through the woman, but all things are from God. Judge yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a woman has long hair, it is dishonor to him? A man has long hair, dishonor. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. I just want to stop there, and we're done. The word for a covering, in verse 15, is a different word for covering. And when he says there, he's not saying that the hair is the covering and nothing else. He's talking about creation, and he's talking about nature. It's a different word. So it is not signifying, as we might think, that that the woman long hair is the only covering that is necessary. There is a covering, and Paul expects that covering to be put on in the church, and the church is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a hard time this morning, a little bit, folks. But I hope you followed this, and I hope you didn't find my rambling too much. But if we understand the creation of men, women, the redemptive program, I don't see why we're going to have any problem wearing one in the church. Some will say, well, you wear one in the church, you wear it at the Lord's Supper only. No. No. When the church comes together, is when it is worn. Such as at the Lord's Supper, no, I don't think there's any biblical proof of that at all. And this is important. Let us show the world that our newfound faith in Jesus Christ will restore things, truths, and relationships that God intended in the beginning and that man destroyed by sin. And this is what we are to do in the local church. And this is something that will help our young girls to understand also as they grow old and maybe go to college or whatever, that their relationship with their husband is based on a different relationship than just independence. Father, thank you for your love and mercy and your scriptures and helping us. We let the world dictate to us too much. We become uncomfortable with something, so we find reasons to change our beliefs. And certainly in our day, women having head coverings looks old-fashioned, subservient, and not in any kind of freedom in Jesus Christ. Help all of us, men and women, to develop our marriages the way you intended them, so that we might clearly benefit and serve you in the local church. Bless these people. Thank you for their coming this morning. And help my words to make some sense, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.